And everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Ready? I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just guide my thoughts. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you just control every word that comes out of my mouth. And Heavenly Father, I pray that your word and your message gets preached tonight. I pray that you just meet with us tonight and challenge us. Help us to draw closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture. And Paul starts off, I charge you, therefore, before God. He's telling us something. And it reminds me a lot about a time where my dad used to, different times where we'd work on a car or we'd be driving somewhere. And my dad would take opportunities to instruct me. And this is kind of what Paul is doing here. And I'll never forget one time we were on our way. It was a ways away, and I think we were going to a junkyard, and we were in my dad's Isuzu pickup truck, and we were driving quite a ways, and we were talking like we normally do, and he told me, he said, you know, Scott, I'm going to tell you a secret. And, you know, automatically your ears perk up, ooh, a secret, you know. Anyways, he said, you know, the thing about it is this secret, if applied to your life, will help you with success. He said, the truth of the matter is that it's not really a secret. It's just not really well known or well practiced. It's a biblical principle. And he said, the truth of the matter is this secret, if applied to your life, or the Christian life, will help you in the Christian life. This secret, if applied to work, will help you with work. This secret, if applied to relationships, will help you with relationships. And he's dragging it on and on and on. I'm like, well, just go ahead and tell me. But anyways, he liked to drag it on even more. Anyways, he reminds me a little bit about Brother Paul, and likes to tease. But anyways, the thing about it is that he goes on and he's like, you know, the thing about it is this is lacking in America. Now, this is back in the 90s when I was in high school. And the truth of the matter is it's lacking even more today. And he goes on and he said, the secret is this. He said, this secret was, and he goes on and he's dragging it out even more. He's like, this secret was given to me by my dad, and it works. He said, and the truth of the matter is your grandfather was instructed by your great-grandfather on the same secret. And the secret is this. He says, Wilmans never quit. Now, the thing about it is I believe Paul is having a similar conversation with us. The truth of the matter is, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing. And he goes on and gives us a list of things that we need to not quit on. And he goes down and he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, or henceforth, is there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The truth of the matter is we as Christians, we need to get back to that don't quit attitude. That attitude that says, you know what? Hey, when I got saved, the Lord started a work inside of me. And you know what? I'm not going to walk away from God. You know what? God's doing a great work. And you know what? I'm not going to walk away from reading my Bible. I'm not going to quit on praying. I'm not going to quit on, you know, I automatically think of the verse that talks about, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What's that basically saying? Don't quit. Don't quit. And the thing about it is tonight I just want to challenge us. Don't quit. Like I said, Paul's having a little talk with us. And the thing about it is he said, you charge. And he said, I charge you therefore. Basically he's saying, hey, listen, this is serious. Listen up. Hey, do these things. And the Bible says, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Basically, when you judge something, it's done to try and form a conclusion. I believe it's success or not. And the thing about it is you know what? We need to be like Paul, and we need to get to the end of our lives and say, you know what? I have finished. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Hey, I haven't quit. I'll be honest with you. Some of my heroes are not heroes that are alive. They're heroes that have passed on fighting the good fight. Because that is exactly what I want to do towards the end of my life is I want it to be said of me, hey, he finished the course. And the truth of the matter is Paul is admonishing us, hey, don't quit. Don't quit. And Paul gives us a list. And first of all, he says, preach the word. Listen, we need to not stop preaching the word. I'm so glad that we're a part of a church that preaches the word. You know what? Our preacher doesn't sit there and, you know, the Bible talks about in the last times where, basically people want their ears tickled. You know, people having itching ears. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Our preacher doesn't preach what we want him to preach. He preaches what God wants him to preach. And I'm glad to be a part of that, a church like that. But the truth of the matter is we need to preach the word. And if you look over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about this very subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, starting off in verse 17, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In other words, the truth of the matter is if I get up here and just start talking to you what I think, I'm wasting your time. What really matters is what God thinks. And for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Truth of the matter is the world isn't going to understand why it's so important to come to church. The world isn't going to understand why we take a van and why Mrs. Lance goes out and makes several trips to bring people into church. Well, the truth of the matter is to us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of this otherwise and will bring it to nothing, the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know what? The world is doing the same thing. They're seeking after wisdom and they're missing the very God that provides the wisdom. You know what? They're seeking after knowledge. They're studying the creation and they're missing the Creator. They're studying math and missing the God that created that math. And you know what? They're studying the trees and they fail to see the God that created the trees. And the truth of the matter is that verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We need to not quit on preaching the word. We need to take every opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Because the truth of the matter is there's a world lost and dying and going to hell. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. It's hard to comprehend. But that person that we pass on the street, if they do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they are dying and going to hell one day. That cashier that rings us out at Kroger's or Walmart or wherever store we are, if they don't know Jesus Christ, you know what? They're lost and dying and going to hell. You know what? We need to take and preach the gospel. This is why we have a bus ministry. This is why we have a soul winning program on Saturdays. This is why we have children's ministries. Why? Because it's the preaching of the cross of Christ that changes lives. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 talks about this very thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I got to get there myself. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the also to the Greek. The thing about it is we need not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times where I should pass out a track and I don't is because, you know what, I'm ashamed. And the thing about it is you know what, the verse that talks about when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Thing about it is you know what? We get boldness from this book right here. We get boldness from prayer. We get boldness from walking with God. And you know what? It's time we as Christians start becoming Christians of the Bible, Christians of prayer, Christians that say, you know what? Hey, with God, all things are possible. Christians that say, you know what? God plus anybody equal majority. And you know what? It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is that the cross of Christ be lifted up. We need to preach the gospel. You know, for sake of time, I'm going to skip through some of those, but here's the thing. Is the next thing I want to talk about is the Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. You know, the thing about it is too many times we as Christians, we're just instant in the season that's most convenient. You know what? We're ready to serve God if it's convenient. We're ready to do what God wants us to do if it's convenient. Well, you know what? I'll come to church if it's convenient. If there's nothing else better going on, I'll be there. And the thing about it is you know what? We need to be instant in season, out of season. And the thing about it is you know what? If we're waiting for a fit or suitable time or a convenient time to serve Christ, forget about that. We need to serve Christ today. Too many times I've heard teenagers say, you know what? Well, I'll serve God when I graduate from high school. No, now is the season. Well, you know what? I'll serve God when this happens or when that happens. No, now is the season. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Souls are dying. If we really get a burden for lost souls, now is the season. We need to be instant in season and out of season. Too many times we as Christians, I'll tell you what, I got to fight it myself. You know, we take and we walk around with our lip dragging on the floor. And we look like we've been weaned on a dill pickle. And the truth of the matter is that you know what? We need to be excited about being saved. I like what Pastor said this morning. You know, we need to be excited about it. We need to be. Here's the thing is, you know what? Hey, bless God. Now, here's the thing is, I'm not as deep as Pastor. When I get up there, I'm just going to be excited that I'm there. You know what I mean? And woo! You know? And the thing about it is you know what? Hey, the awesome part about it is my feet never have to touch hell. You know what? I never have to experience the fire of hell. I never have to hear the tormenting screams. I don't like worms. I'm glad that I don't have to experience the worms that die not. But you know what? Hey, one day when I die, you know what? I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I get to see His nails pierced hands, and I tell you what, if that's not something to shout about, I don't know what is. You know what? We need to get back to being excited about being saved. We need to stop this whole pity party thing and be excited about being saved. Excited that we're on our way to heaven. But at the same thing is we need to be kneeling at the cross of Christ like Pastor said. And you know what? We need to be realizing that souls are dying and going to hell. You know what? I'll be honest with you. It'd be a selfish thing for me if I say, you know what? I'm going to heaven, but I'm not telling anybody else. I'm going to heaven to an awesome place. I don't care if anybody else does. The thing about it is we need to be excited. We need to be instant in season and out of season. Are we ready to give an answer to every man like 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says? Here's the thing is, too many times we're just ready in our own season. I'm sure glad Christ wasn't trying to find a convenient season when he said, in Matthew 26:39, let this cup pass. Here's the thing is, I'm sure glad he didn't. I'm sure glad Christ didn't say, you know what, that Scott, I don't know if he's worth dying for. Because I'll be honest with you, if I was in his spot, I'd be like, forget him, you know. And but here's the thing is for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Thing about it is also the Bible says Paul is talking about preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Hey, it's time we as Christians start exhorting one another. Hey, it's time that we start encouraging and lifting up one another. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Not in this church, but Christianity as a whole, too many times we start shooting our wounded. And instead of lifting them up and encouraging them and say, hey, keep on going. Don't quit. You can do it. Hey, God plus you equal majority. You can do it. It's not you that's doing it. It's Christ. You know what? You just got to tap into the power. And you know what? When you start lifting people up, it's amazing what encouragement does. When I was in school, Pastor Town, I was having trouble in school. And I know this is going to be hard to realize, but I was a troubled child. I gave them a run for their money. And nobody would believe it now, I know. And no, just joking. But the thing about it is you know what? Pastor Town cared. And it made the world a difference. The thing about it is you know what? You ever wonder why all these children and teenagers come to 1600 Marion Road, cross of Beale and Marion, on a Sunday or a Wednesday? Because there's a church with a church family and a church pastor that cares. And the thing about it is you know what? That's why they come. And the truth of the matter is you know what? We need to take and continue caring. We need to not quit on caring. Now, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. I know at times those teenagers can be rough, right? And the thing about it is there's times where you think, oh my goodness, are these teenagers ever going to get it? And you know, I understand children are the same way, but the truth of the matter is we need to not quit. Because you know what? God is able. God is able to change a life. God is able. You know what? Here's the thing is, you watch. I tell you what, a teenager or a young person that gets on fire for God and says, you know what? I'm going to see what God can do. Great things happen. And the thing about it is that's why we need to not, we need to make sure that we don't quit caring. Right. Now the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, we need to make sure that we exhort and lift up our pastor. The thing about it is I know this is going to be shocking to everybody, but he's a man. Right? He's human. Now, I know, you know, you think, oh, it's not true. And but anyways, thing about it Mrs. Lance has stories. I'm sure she'll be happy to share with you. No, I'm just joking. But anyways, the thing about it is you know, in Exodus chapter 17 and verses 11 through 13, it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The truth of the matter is what happened is they realized that the man of God, God was blessing the man of God, and as long as Moses' arms were raised, the battle was being won. And you know what? Moses was a human too. And you know what? His arms started to get tired, and Aaron and Hur decided, hey, that is the man of God. And they brought up a stone and put it, hey, sit down, and hey, we're going to help you lift up your arms. So the battle was won. And you know what? The Bible says the battle was won. Now, the thing about it is the gospel needs to be preached in Bucyrus. And the thing about it is our pastor cannot do it by himself. And the truth of the matter is if he tries, you know what? If he is like most people, which, you know what? He might get tired and discouraged one day. Now, after 13 years, right? You know what? If he hasn't got discouraged after 13, you know, maybe, who knows? Maybe he might not ever, but, you know, being with some of these teenagers just after a month is discouraging. No, just joking. But the thing about it is you know what? We need to band with our pastor and say, you know what? Hey, there's a work to be done. You're not doing it on your own. I'm going to jump in and help. And the truth of the matter is we're not jumping in for his sake. We're jumping in for his sake. We're saying, you know what? Hey, we're going to continue preaching the word. We're going to continue reaching Bucyrus. Hey, we're going to continue. And you know what? We're going to band with our preacher, the man that God had called right here, the man that God, the man that was designed for this pulpit to preach out of God's man, to preach out of God's word behind God's pulpit to the men and women of God to reach his goals. The truth of the matter is we're supposed to be striving with Him to serve Him. The thing about it is we need to exhort. But also, we need to watch. The thing about it is we've got to be careful. The Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion and walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The truth of the matter is you know what? We've got to be careful. There's a song, "The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me." The thing about it is how many remember that song? I remember it from Sunday school. Nobody? A couple people? All right. But anyways, I remember singing that and when I was real little. And anyways, there's some deep theological truth to that, I'm sure. But the thing about it is we need to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The truth of the matter is we are supposed to be watch therefore in all things. The thing about it is we need to be vigilant. You know what? Too many times we take and we get lax. We get comfortable. And the truth of the matter is you know what? I don't have time to talk about this, but you know what? I talked to the teenagers a little while back that the enemy of greatness is comfortable. Is comfort. Because the truth of the matter is if we're too worried about being comfortable, we're never going to achieve something great, because greatness always takes work. And the thing about it is you know what? We need to watch. Too many times we as Christians, we say, you know what? How close can I get to the line? And we draw an imaginary line. All right, if I stay behind this line, I'm good. But the truth of the matter is rather than how close to the world can I get without being burned, we need to say, you know what? How close to God can I get? You know what? When our heart's desire is to walk with God, we don't care where the world is. We don't care where the line is, because you know what? I'm worried about pleasing God. And we need to get back to that whole idea of saying, you know what? We need to please God. My heart's desire is to please God. And when we get back to that, you know what? I'll be honest with you. There is where success starts. I heard a pastor say one time, success is finding God's will and doing it. And the thing about it is we need to do that very thing. Now the thing about it is Paul says basically to do these things, and then also he says how he accomplished this. He gives us a little bit of insight on how he didn't quit. Verse 11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." See, the thing about it is Paul surrounded himself with friends that were profitable for the ministry. And the thing about it is we need to surround ourselves with people that their heart's desire is hopefully like ours, where we say, you know what, how close can I get to God? How, you know what, I want to see God do great things. I want to see lives change. I want to see souls saved. And you know what, the only way we're going to do that is walking with God. And you know what, we need to take and surround ourselves with godly friends, teenagers. You know what, here's the thing, if we take and we surround ourselves with worldly friends, eventually we're going to have troubles. And this goes back to that whole idea of watching. But also, thing about it is, you know what? He held the Bible at a priority. Verse 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." And here's the thing, is I couldn't look it up specifically, but I believe that's talking about the Bible. He's saying, you know what? Hey, listen. Bring my coat, bring some books, but especially the Bible. More importantly than coats, more importantly than books, bring the Bible. And the thing about it is you know what? Our Bible should be the most important thing in our lives as far as possessions go. You know what? This book should be more important than the TV guide. And I know that a lot of people don't use a TV guide. Now it's all the internet. But you know what? This book should be more important than our computer. This book should be more important than our iPad or our iPod or whatever. The truth of the matter is you know what? We need to get back to loving the Word of God. And we need to get back to reading the Word of God and be Christians that delve into the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, there's a lack of Christians that walk with God. But you know what? You look around and Christianity is floundering. It's because we've gotten away from the book. We've gotten away from the preaching of the Word of God. We've gotten away from the reading of the Word of God. We've gotten away from prayer. And the thing about it is we got to the point where all of a sudden we're starting to determine what's right and wrong on ourselves. Next, verse 14, the Bible talks about Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Teenagers, I'll be honest with you, this whole idea of forgiveness, it ruins a lot of people when you hold bitterness. It ruins your life when you hold bitterness. The truth of the matter is I've seen adults that have held bitterness from their younger years. I've seen teenagers that got bitter at mom and dad or the pastor or somebody in the church and different things, and they let that dictate their lives. They let it consume their lives. And what happens is you know what? But Paul said, hey, listen, part of how I learned how not to quit was, hey, I let God fight my battles. You know, the thing about it is I wasn't worried. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil, but you know what? God will take care of him. I'm not worried about it. And the truth of the matter is we need to get down to that same thing. Teenagers, we need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how not to hold a grudge. I'll be honest with you, too many times teenagers out of my youth group and other youth groups talking to other youth pastors, they'll get into a fight with so-and-so or they'll get a grudge with so-and-so and they'll let that keep them out of church. They'll let that sever their relationship with God because they're so concerned about getting even with the other person that it ruins their lives. Thing about it is, as young people, we need to learn to forgive and let God. Let God take care of it. You know, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, God can deal with them a whole lot better than we can deal with them. Not only that, when we try and deal with it, it ruins our lives. But also, verse 16, at first no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 16, at first no man stood with me. You know what's interesting? A lot throughout the Bible you see different great men of the faith saying, you know what? I wasn't afraid to stand alone. You look at Elijah. I only remain a prophet. Oh, you do this. Study throughout the Bible every time a great man of God was willing to stand alone. You'll find it a lot. Truth of the matter is, I'll be honest with you, young people, I'm concerned about teenagers that don't stand in this setting right here. Because you're surrounded with a group of people that when you walk an aisle and you make a decision, all right, you can do it. Don't give up on that decision. Keep on, you know, and you have people that encourage you and love you. But the truth of the matter is that if you won't stand in this scenario, when you have a group of people that support you and love you and pray for you, how are we ever supposed to stand in a group of people that don't love us? The thing about it is I'll be honest with you, we need to get in the habit of standing and not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When God speaks to our heart, you know what? Forget about everybody else. I'm going to the altar. I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to stand with God. You know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed that God spoke to my heart and I listened. I'm not ashamed of that. And the truth of the matter is you know what? We as young people, we as a church, we as Christianity need to get used to standing and saying, you know what? I don't care. If God's with me, who can be against me? And the truth of the matter is we need to learn how to stand and be willing to stand alone. Too many times we as teenagers, you know what, I got to have a friend, I got to have so-and-so. Well, I'll stand if you stand. Well, I'll make a decision if you... No, forget about all that. God spoke to your heart. Make the decision. You know what, if God's called you to do something, God's going with you. It's all you need. Christ is all... You know, it's just like that song. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need, all I need. You know what? If we'll get a hold of that, hey, you know what? It's exciting. You know what? Anybody that says that Christian life isn't exciting, they haven't lived it. You know what? And the thing about it is, you know what? Christ is all we need. We need to be willing to stand alone. And you know what? Verses 17 and 18, it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Truth of the matter is you know what? You know what Paul said? He said, I learned a lesson that God was faithful. God was faithful. You know what? God never lies. And you know what? I was just challenging the teenagers this morning. Teenagers, we need to learn how to start claiming the promises of God. You know what? And this whole idea about us not knowing what the promises are doesn't cut it. The thing about it is we need to dig into the Bible, figure out the promises of God and say, you know what? Hey, if God promises it, hey, if God promises us, hey, you know what? He's going to do it. God cannot lie. And the truth of the matter is Paul said, hey, listen, I found out a very valuable lesson is that, you know what? If I stuck with God, He stuck with me. Here's the thing is, tonight, Pastor didn't quite make the 15 minutes I tried. But tonight I want to challenge you. Don't quit. Don't quit. The thing about it is the Bible says, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, you know what? I'll be honest with you. If we're living the Christian life in the flesh, we're going to want to quit. If we're doing it of our own strength, we're going to want to quit. But the truth of the matter is when we say, you know what, God, I need your strength. I need strength to work with teenagers because I'm not going to do it by myself. They're just too much of a handful, right? But the thing about it is when we say, God, I need your guidance, I need your strength, just tell you what, just take me, use me, however you see fit, do whatever you want. At that point in time, you know what? We shall reap if we faint not. Don't quit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson that you told Paul to write. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us all not to be weary in well-doing. Help us not to quit. Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to quit preaching the Word and telling other people about Jesus Christ. Help us not to quit reading the Bible and praying. And dear Lord and Father, I pray that you just help us to not quit in our Christian life. Help us to get as close to you as we possibly can. Give us the strength to continue on. Guide us and direct us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.